It's just that nice area that kind of keeps you feeling that comfort of home, and it's always been home. And she's just a really special person to me. Baking is really kind of therapeutic, so it's kind of fun to be here. Those things that you don't know until you're in it, I already knew those things because I had been here for so long. I don't want my employees to feel like this is just a job.
You are listening to another episode of the We Are Tusk podcast, presented by Dover First Christian Church, where we meet interesting people from all around Tuscarawas County, and they tell us the stories that make us who we are.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Tusk podcast. My name is Josh Robinson. I'm your host, as always. And today I'm sitting in one of my favorite places to come get a cup of coffee, do some work, and enjoy some wonderful cookies, Simply Cinnamon up on Bolivar, Ohio, on the north side of Tuscarawas County. And I'm sitting here with the owner, Ashley Hafer-Klein. Ashley, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We like to kind of start with a couple of icebreaker questions, get the conversation flowing a little bit, help you feel comfortable, help our listeners get to know you a little bit. So I have just a couple of questions for you. We are sitting in a bakery. When you were growing up as a kid, was there a baked good item that you just kind of loved? Maybe grandma's pie or something that an aunt made for you at Thanksgiving? What was kind of like your favorite sweet treat when you were a kid?
Well, I would actually say that my favorite treat growing up is not much of a baked item per se, but it was my grandparents. It was a Jell-O cake. It was, there was a pretzel Jell-O and there was like a three-layer cake, and it's really not a baked item, but it is by far my favorite dessert, and I still request my dad make that to this day, so it is one of my favorites.
Now, is that a holiday type treat? Was it like Thanksgiving that was coming out, Christmas time it was coming out?
Well, the one is a Christmas Jell-O, so it is, you know, the red, green and white layer, but the other one is just a strawberry pretzel Jell-O.
Okay.
And it was mostly at holidays, but I would always request it for my birthday, which I got a lot of grief for because my birthday is in the middle or the beginning of July, and it is not very, you know, great for
Jell-O cakes for the picnic in 80 degree temperature.
Yes, it is not great, but that's what I always wanted.
See, when I was growing up, my grandmother made these things. We called her Mama, and we called them Mama cookies. I didn't learn until I was in my 30s that they're called dishpan cookies, apparently. And they have this like oat mixture in them. And the only time I ever got them was Thanksgiving. We spent with my dad's side of the family, and she would bring mounds and mounds of Mama cookies, dishpan cookies, that would then come home with us after the holiday, and we'd freeze them and try to make them last until Christmas.
As long as you could.
that was mine growing up.
Absolutely.
So just another question. You are bivocational here. You do own the shop here, but you also make your day job as a preschool teacher. What do you love about working with preschool kids?
Honestly, one of my favorite things about preschoolers is the judgment-free zone. You know, they are just so excited about everything in life, and you can dance with them, and you can sing, and I sing off-key, and you can just, you know, act a fool, and they love every second of it. And I just enjoy being able to be with them and just not worry about, you know, the judgment and the stares that I might get in public if I do some of those things. But it's just a fun time, and they're so excited about life and learning.
Does that mean that you're not going to sing for us now?
You do not want me to. I don't think many people would listen to the podcast if I start singing.
And as we mentioned right before we started, you have a preschooler in your life as well. So tell us a little bit about your family.
I do. I married my husband, Patrick. We've been married for about 5 years. And I have a 3-year-old daughter, Brinley. And she is always in here with us. You know, she has to go grocery shopping and bring in the groceries, and she's kind of grown up here herself. The first time she was in here, she was 5 days old, and I had to come in and help. And she sat in her car seat in the office, and I just scooped some cookies because it was a really busy day, and just tried to help out a little bit.
Got to do what you got to do. And there's probably a 50-50 chance she's going to join us on this episode before we're all said and done, that we'll hear her run through at some point. They're decorating Christmas cookies in the back while we're recording, so we may get a guest appearance from Brinley.
She might be out at some point.
So let's just kind of jump into your story a little bit and growing up. You grew up here locally in Tuscarawas County?
I sure did. I have lived here my whole life. My dad actually was born and raised here, and then I was born and raised here, and I started my own family here.
So what kept you here? What is it that you love about this place?
I mean, I think it was a lot of different things that came together to make me stay here. But Bolivar is just a very relaxed, small town. I just love the area. It's a great area to raise your family in. It's, you know, we walk down the street, people wave, you go to the post office, you see at least five people, you know. It's just that nice area that kind of keeps you feeling that comfort of home, and it's always been home. You know, we love to go to Canal Street Diner and Towpath Tavern and some of the other restaurants that are around here. And, you know, the Canal Street Diner, those girls went to school with me and they were my friends when I was a child and growing up. And now we're having children together of our own, you know, and just I think some of those things, and just when you walk into a restaurant and somebody knows you and asks you some of those, you know, like, how is your family doing? It's not just how are you, but they want to know how you are as a person. And I think that that is one of my favorite aspects about living in a small town. And I mean, even the grocery store, just seeing people that you know and being able to talk to them, I think is just a really cool aspect of living in a small town.
Well, and you can't really replace 20 or 30 years of history. Exactly. That just having known them since they were 10 or 12 or 15, mm-hmm. and graduate high school together and start a family together and all those things, you can't replace 20 or 30 years of memory. There's no substitute for that kind of history.
Absolutely.
Growing up, did you know you were going to stay here? Did you know this is where you wanted to raise your family? Did it just kind of happen for you?
I would say it just kind of happened. When I was in college, I went to college. I knew I wanted to go to college, you know, long story short. But I ended up going to a more local college. I stayed close to home. And then I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, I had my teaching degree, but I didn't know if that's what I wanted to do. I had thrown around some other ideas, and life happens and families, you know, have different things that they go through. And I just ended up wanting to stay close to be with my family. So I ended up, and I was working here too, at the bakery, because I've been here since I was young. So I just kind of stayed around, and then, you know, we looked at other places when I got married, and we started looking for houses, and nothing quite worked out. And then we looked at a couple in Bolivar. We put in an offer on one and they took our offer. So I just felt like that was a sign to stay here. And I'm glad we're here. My parents are 5 minutes across town from us. They help us with our daughter. They help us with the bakery. My mother-in-law is moving down here. So it's just kind of a nice area that we can all be together and have the support and help we need when you're raising a family.
So you said you started working here when you were young. What's young mean?
I have been here since I was 16 years old, and I am 30 now.
Okay. Well, I didn't ask you to tell me how old you were now. I would never ask that question. So, but you're basically a decade and a half to being here. So you started mm-hmm. as just kind of working the counter and working after school mm-hmm. shifts?
Yep. I started here when I was a junior in high school, and I just worked the night shift. And pretty much everything that I've learned has just been from doing it or watching. Funny story, before I got hired here, I would always ask the old owner, Marie, I would always ask her when she was going to hire me. And she didn't have the time, you know, the hours available to hire me. And I just came in all the time. My friend worked here and I would say, when are you going to give me a job? When are you going to give me a job? I'm going to be the best employee you ever have. And I always joked about that with her. And then one day she finally said, well, I think I need somebody. Are you ready? And so I was, you know, a 16-year-old. I started working the night shift. I would work weekends. And then it just kind of grew from there. I started working more and more. And I would just learn I would watch her and I would learn how to make stuff, how to do stuff. And eventually I was pretty much running it.
So you kind of knew you didn't know you were going to end up where you are now, but you saw this or had this as part of your life from a pretty young age, mm-hmm. both as a customer and then as, my friends are working there. Did you at that point know it was going to be more than that, or was it just a high school job at that point?
It was just a high school job, because I knew I wanted to go to college. I knew I was planning on going to college, so it was just my high school job. And I had a lot of pride in it because I was raised to have pride in my job. So I wanted to, you know, do a good job here, but I didn't see it as, I never would have dreamt that it would have become what it has become at that point in my life.
when you started doing stuff here, how quickly did you feel like it was maybe more than just that summer job? Did it last just for a year or two? And then, hey, I can see that I'm moving up into like management stuff. Or was it many, many years before you thought maybe it would be more than that?
I think it was probably just a few years because, you know, at 16, I was a junior. So I worked my junior year and I worked my senior year in high school. And then I went into college and I still came back on the weekends. And if I didn't have class, you know, if I got done at 2 o'clock with class or whatever, I would come work the night shift still just to help out. And I went to Malone University, so I wasn't too far away. School. It is a good school.
That's my alma mater as well.
So, you know, it's 15, 20 minutes up the road. It wasn't too far. It was still feasible to come home and work. So I would work if I didn't have class. And then my senior year of college is when it really started to change. The previous owner had some health stuff going on and she wasn't able to work as much. So I was actually running the business at that time. And it was the spring semester. It was towards the end of the semester, maybe a couple of months before the end of the semester. And I was running the business, but I was also student teaching.
That sounds like a really fun semester.
It was a long semester, but I was actually coming here in the morning and I was getting, you know, doughs ready, getting them scooped and ready to go. And then I was running and teaching all day. And then I was coming home and closing the bakery and doing the night shift. And then I was going home and getting ready for school the next day. So, you know, lesson plans and
it actually kind of sounds like it was good preparation for what you're doing now.
It is, which is kind of why I thought that I could do it because I had done it for all those, you know, weeks and months when I was in college. So it kind of led into buying it eventually.
Just to kind of fill in the folks listening at home, you teach full-time, you teach part-time. What does your preschool schedule look like right now?
I teach full-time Monday through Friday at preschool. So I leave in the morning and I don't get off till about 4 o'clock. So when I come here, it is, you know, that 4:15, 4:30 time.
And the only difference between now and when you're doing it student teaching is now you have a 3-year-old to tag along with you when you come to ice cookies at 5 o'clock at night.
Yes. That is correct.
And now, it sounds like you spent a lot of time with the previous owner, with Maria. Mm-hmm. Kind of describe what that relationship grew into. I imagine you learned a lot from her and that there must have been a friendship that developed over all those years.
Absolutely. She still to this day is one of my favorite people. She taught me so much and she really, you know, she kind of filled that grandma void that I didn't have, which she probably wouldn't like me saying that I'm calling her a grandma, but she did have grandkids and she just became really close. You know, I mean, she watched me grow up. She was there when I got married. She was there when I had my first baby. You know, she came to my house and met my daughter. And she worked for me for a while after, for probably about 4 years. After I purchased the business from her, she continued to work for me. And I just learned stuff. And I still will text her sometimes and be like, hey, you know, we tried this before. What do you think? Or should we try this or whatever? And she's always supportive. And she's just a really special person to me.
Those are always some of the best people in life when you meet people who become surrogate family.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a second parent or it's an uncle or, you know, someone who just you meet through business or friendship or whatever who pour into you like you are their own grandson or their own granddaughter. Those relationships are incredibly powerful as we kind of all struggle to grow up a little bit. Having those relationships is really neat.
Yeah. And she saw me in so many different, you know, aspects of life from high school and dating and college and changing careers and just, you know, just those different thoughts and stresses that come into your life when you're 18, 20 years old. And again, then she sees me get married and she sees me have a family of my own now. So she's just really seen me through it all.
At what point did the transition happen? When did you purchase the business?
So I have had the business for 6 years now.
Okay.
It was probably about 6.5, 7 years ago. I just went up to her, Marie, and I said, you know, in the future when you're ready, I think I want to take over the business. And she said, okay. And, you know, she has two children, but one lives out of state. The other one doesn't live in town. It wasn't really something that they were interested in at the time. And so I said, you know, when you're ready, I think that I'm interested in purchasing it. And so, you know, we kind of left it at that. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a very serious conversation. It was just, I was afraid that the business would not go on after her. And I think it's, you know, it's been around since 1997. And I just wanted to continue to see it flourish. And I didn't want it to close. So I just said, you know, when you're ready. And so it ended up being about a month later. In my mind, this was going to be like 5 years into the future.
Yeah. Because you were still pretty young at that point. I mean, 6 years ago, you're only a couple of years out of college.
Yes, I was 23, I think, when we first started talking about it and when I purchased it. So we started, you know, we just started talking about it. And I said, future. And she came the next month and said, well, this could be sooner than you think. You know, she and her husband did a lot together here, and he had passed away and wasn't around. And it was just, you know, it's hard to run a business, especially by yourself. So she just kind of said that she was kind of ready, but she still wanted to be a part of it. But it was just a lot with having that whole business aspect and all the stress of running a business, and not just the part of being in here and baking, which we love to do. We kind of started the process then and, you know, worked out all the details. And then I took it over. And she, like I said, she worked for me for about 4 years. You know, we still keep in touch. And she, you know, has some grandchildren that she helps take care of now. And she's just having fun with that.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, as a 23, 24-year-old purchasing a business that you're going to run by yourself, how overwhelmed are you feeling at that moment?
It was a very stressful moment that I was not married yet. So it was a conversation. We may have been engaged at the time. So it was a conversation that I had with my, you know, boyfriend, fiance at the time. It was a conversation I had with my parents. But I think one of the amazing things about the fact that I had already been here for, you know, 8-10 years at that point was the fact that I knew how this place ran. I knew the inside and outside. I knew every, you know, crevice of this place, and I understood it. So I think that not that that's discrediting what I had to endure in creating a business.
But you weren't starting from scratch.
I wasn't starting from scratch. I had a lot of those, you know, those things that you don't know until you're in it. I already knew those things because I had been here for so long.
Yeah, and you'd even kind of run it for a little bit, you said, when she was sick. You'd gotten your feet wet a little bit. At least you knew what you were getting yourself into.
I did, yeah. Yes.
So a couple things you said as you were talking there. The one you said, it's really hard to run a business by yourself. And I can't help but think, and people listening at home have no idea, but I've been watching people file in and out So who are all the folks who've come in, who clearly you have a nice team here who helps you do stuff? Who are all the folks who've been coming in who are kind of essential to what you're doing here?
Well, tonight I have a lot. It's mostly family here tonight, but it's actually all family. But my dad has popped in. I can see him. My cousins.
Now, to be fair, some of them aren't working. Some of them are just listening to us talk, but they have been coming in.
My dad is another one of our handymen. So when things go wrong or we need to replace equipment and stuff, he's always one of the first ones to jump in and help us out. My manager is my cousin. So, you know, built in best friend since we were wee little. She is my right hand man. She's always here for me, and she is back after working for 12 hours today. She took a nap and came back to help us finish those cookies. My other cousin is here. My husband is here. So it's definitely a family affair when we get close to the holidays, and honestly throughout the year. Not only them, but my staff is amazing. I usually have awesome kids here that are working for me. And when I was working for Marie, I remember her saying when I was, you know, 16, that she wanted us to feel like we were her family, and that we could come to her, and that, you know, we mattered to her and we weren't just an employee. And that's something that I've really, that I really strive for now, is that I don't want my employees to feel like this is just a job. And not only because I think that they're humans too, but because, you know, when you are appreciated and respected at work, I think that you care more and you want to do better, and they're representing my business. So I want them to represent it well, and I want them to feel appreciated and be happy to be here.
Well, and I can echo your sentiment. You have some incredible staff who work here. I do pop in here pretty regularly. It's one of the few places in Bolivar that's kind of designed to sit and work or sit and have a meeting. And so it kind of becomes that place where if I'm meeting somebody for a cup of coffee or whatever, and you do have a dynamite staff, including your high school age kids who pop in here for the mm-hmm. afternoon shift. You have really good kids who are working here too.
Yeah, I do. They have been great. And obviously we have a lot of turnover as our kids go to college or move out of state or whatever they might do. And, you know, especially as a teacher, I am always one to support whatever endeavors they follow and they want to do, which is hard because I lose my kids, you know, but I really want them to be happy and to follow whatever they want. So we always are supportive of that and help them move on to the next step.
So you don't think you're training the next owner right now like you were all those years ago?
I don't know about that. I mean, I still probably have quite a few years left.
Well, you are.
We never know.
You are 6 years in now. What are some things you've done that have kind of made it your own? Obviously, it was a business that was here for 15 or 16 years before you took it over. What are some things where you feel like, okay, this is mine now? Because it kind of takes on your personality. You kind of make some changes and adjustments as you go. So what are some things that you feel like, man, this is my kind of stamp on the business?
I think probably one of the main things is the look of it inside. Some of this stuff has changed even within the last couple of years, but we used to have dark green carpet. I don't know if you remember that, but like that forest green carpet, you know, we ripped that out. We put the new flooring in. The wall over here has kind of become my other child, I think. We made that into like our gallery wall, and I am constantly just buying decor and changing. It's actually come to the point now where my family will not let me buy something unless I know where exactly I'm going to put it in the shop, because you can see we don't have a lot of wall space left. So I am not allowed to buy anything unless I know where it's going to go. You know, I try to keep a lot of the similar things to what it was, because not everybody likes change, but I think we have grown a lot and I think we add a lot of stuff, you know, in our different cutouts and our shapes and our different designs we do, and, you know, the cookies we've added in the last couple years and just different things like that, I think have really made it my own, but yet kept it to that cozy place that it's always been. And I want people to feel comfortable and, you know, kind of at home when they're here.
So I kind of want to run down two separate threads here. We're going to talk about the cookies because that's why we're here. So the remodel was, if you've not been in for a while, it's probably about 2.5 years ago that you guys did like a full, maybe it was a little bit longer than that, and added the high top and added the fireplace. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely beautiful in here.
Thank you.
You guys did a great job with that. But my one question with the decor is, who's responsible for all of the flavoring bottle things that end up like seasonally? You have like the little candy corn one, and right now there are little Santas, and there'll be snowmen out in January.
Yes.
Who's responsible for all of those little?
So it's kind of a joint effort, but it's mostly Tori, who is our manager, my cousin. She has made the majority of those. I think I made the first set of like the candy corn ones, you know, 5 years ago, and she's kind of taken it off. She's very artistic, and she has made the snowmen ones and the Christmas ones and our St. Patrick's Day ones. And I kind of threw her off because when we added the high top table, now we have 5 tables in here when we used to only have 4.
So now she's going to make one
so
more of each.
We now have to make an extra. So she's shaking her head over there. But yes, she has created the majority of those for us in here.
And it's just one of those things that, again, if you've never been in here, I love little personal touches. Like your wall is beautiful, But anyone can go to the store and buy signs and hang signs. Mm-hmm. But when they're just kind of neat little things, they add character and charm, and you're just not going to see that anywhere else. And so if you pop in here in the fall, you're going to see fall-themed, I assume they're old flavoring bottles that you've used to make coffee, mm-hmm. and you'll have snowmen, and you'll have flowers or whatever else you have throughout the year. And
always gnomes, too.
Always gnomes, yep.
We have gnomes for every holiday now. And I still keep buying them. But they are too cute.
But it just makes it adds a little bit of a personal touch. It makes it feel not like every other place you go. And, of mm-hmm. course, as we've been doing these small businesses, that's one of the cool things about small local businesses is they don't feel like every place else. They have mm-hmm. kind of their own personality and own charm. And you guys have done a great job cultivating that here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So now we need to talk about the cookies.
Yes.
Where are the recipes from? Who's in charge of them? Who do I have to pay to get them delivered to my house? Kind of how does all that work?
Well, I will say some of the recipes are passed down. A lot of them are, but our recipes are always kind of changing slightly because ingredients change, especially, you know, COVID has really taken a big hit on other businesses. So there's products we can't get or products that have changed. For the most part, a lot of our recipes are passed down or ones that we have created and just kind of played with until they
taste right.
Yeah, literally. I mean, even, you know, our dressings are homemade. Those are just ones that we've kind of played with and added this, taken out this, and changed it until it's something that we like. And, you know, our soups are the same way. So we kind of just play around until it's something that we like and other people like, and then we put it out.
Is it a collaborative effort? Is there somebody who's kind of the driving force behind it?
It probably kind of depends on what it is. I mean, I have a lot of say over stuff. So, I mean, I will often be the one playing around with stuff. But, you know, during the school year, I don't get to be as creative because I have a whole other job that I'm worrying about, too. But, you know, it's kind of a group effort and, you know, not even just with the people who work here, but my family will text me and say, like, oh, I think you should try something with this. Or, you know, we'll send a group message and be like, oh, we were thinking about a cookie like this. What do you guys think? And, you know, it's just a conversation that we have together, especially like the cinnamon rolls. We do a flavor of the month each month. And that's a flavor, you know, that's one we'll talk about as a group. Like, hey, what do you guys think we should try this month? There's some set ones that we always do, but there's some other ones that we kind of play around with and we'll change up. So it's a group effort.
So if you've never been into the shop, first of all, they sell cinnamon rolls that are about the size of your face that are, you know, diabetes on a plate and worth the price that you pay to eat them. And then they have a whole host of cookies that are wonderful. But in addition, it's also, I mean, you have like a full lunch menu mm-hmm. With soups and salads and sandwiches. Hi, you want to come say hi?
Do you want to say hi?
Hey.
Say hi, everyone.
Hey, Alan.
That's Miss Brinley. I told you she was going to join us before we were done. We're talking about cookies. Brinley, do you have a favorite cookie that they make here? What's your favorite cookie to eat?
Cookie.
Cookies? Well, I like all the cookies, but
she
is there
said
one?
Ducky, but that's...
Ducky?
What's your favorite cookie here?
Ducky.
That's not a cookie. You're silly. What's your favorite?
M&M. Well, say it into the microphone so they can hear
you.
Say
it to the people. M&M.
Mom,
M&M. Good stuff. That's one of my favorites, too. I'm partial to the Snickerdoodles myself. That's my favorite when I come in.
We like those, too.
But as we were saying, you have a full lunch menu where you've got sandwiches and you've got soup and you guys do breakfast sandwiches. Mm-hmm. Just kind of talk through some of the things that you offer if somebody wanted to pop in and eat here. What are some of the things they could get?
Yeah, we kind of have a little bit of everything. You know, we have our cookies, of course, and muffins and our cinnamon rolls. But our lunch menu, we've kind of got that soup, salad, and sandwich. We kind of have a couple of different things. You know, our sandwiches, we have some regular sandwiches. We have some paninis, so you can get something hot. We have some wraps, which are really awesome. But then we also have soups, and we typically have you know, our chicken noodle every day because it's a staple. And then we switch the other soup of the day during the week, and we have a second one during the cold months. And then in the summer, we typically just have one soup a day just because we're not selling as much soup in the summer, of course, when it's hot. But then we also have a couple different salads that we have that are always super popular, you know, grilled chicken salad. We have a Southwestern salad, a chef salad, just a couple different things to choose from as well.
And then a full-fledged coffee shop too. Like, you guys make any kind of espresso type drink that you would want, you know, from smoothies to mochas to, you know, anything in between you guys make.
We sure do. Yeah. And we actually have a couple other drinks too that aren't coffee based. I mean, we have some like Italian sodas for the people who don't like coffee. We make steamers too, which don't have espresso for people who don't like espresso. All of our smoothies, I mean, in the last couple years, we've added probably 7 or 8 of those smoothies are new compared to what they were. So we're always trying to add and continue to grow and
Let's talk about that for a minute. As you kind of look at the future of what Simply Cinnamon looks like down the road, I joked earlier about finding a replacement, but I think it sounds like you plan on being here for another 10, 12, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Where do you kind of see the business going? Is there room for growth? Is there things you want to see change? What does the future of Simply Cinnamon look like?
I mean, I think that change is always, it always has to be on the forefront because, you know, as much as people like things the same, you also have to grow. So I think keeping those staple things that we always have, but I would love to continue to add. I would love to add to our menu some of the things that you can't, you know, there's not a shop around here for everything. So just being able to add, you know, cakes and pies and stuff someday would be awesome for us to do. So I would really like to continue to grow and just build up and expand if we can and continue to add stuff.
You may need a bigger storefront if you start adding pies to what you're already doing.
Well, that's one reason people ask us for them often, and that's one reason that we can is that we just don't have the space here.
I mean, what you offer for the space you have is really incredible. Mm-hmm. Is growing the store at some point down the road, is that something that you've thought about, or is it you kind of like where you are?
We do like where we are, and it's definitely something that we've thought about and talked about too, but you know, you just all the stars have to align for that.
What about you, for you personally? Is it always going to kind of be your second job, or is there somewhere in the future where you think this could be it for me? Do you love your kids so much you can't leave them?
You know, that's something also that we've talked about. I do love what I do. Every day I love being with my kids, but it's a lot doing both things. And, you know, if this is where I feel I'm being pulled towards and away from the school setting, then that might be something I do. But at this point, I don't see me leaving teaching anytime soon. I really love my kids. I love being with them. And I love, you know, it's kind of a nice break from each of them. That sounds bad to say I need a break from one, but you know, in the summer when I'm not teaching, I obviously am not around the kids. So it's nice to be able to be in here and on Christmas breaks and stuff. And you know, baking is really kind of therapeutic. So it's kind of fun to be here and do all of those stuff, all those things. But sometimes, you know, it's also a lot, like when we go decorate 600 cookies tonight. But, you know, then the same sense is during the school year when I'm with my kids, it's a nice break from here too.
You are incredibly lucky to have two things that you love to do like that, that you make your living by, that in a world where so many people go to work because they have to make a paycheck, to have two things that you love is really remarkable. I started by asking what's your favorite thing about teaching, and one of my favorite questions to ask people, when you've been doing something as long as you've been doing this, you know, we're 15, 16 years in now to working here, what brings you joy about this? What is it about being here and doing this stuff that you're like, this is what I come back for?
People. It's always people. I mean, just being able to, I mean, I love to bake and I have fun doing that. But I love to talk and I love to meet people. And a lot of our regulars that come in every day, you know, I talked about going to other places. Well, that's as much, you know, I enjoy that because I do the same thing when people come here. I like them to know us and to talk to us and see us as people. Just like I like to care about other people and talk to them. And, you know, I've met some really cool people here over the last 15 years, and even people that might just be stopping in for the day or something, or staying over at the hotel, but just being able to talk to them and learn their story and, you know, see where all people have come from all over the world, you know, and just seeing where they have come from and talking to them and interacting is just, it's a lot of fun for me.
So once again, I'm sitting here with Ashley from Simply Cinnamon. If you've never been here, it's in Bolivar, directly behind the McDonald's. Those are the directions I give to everybody when they're trying to figure out how to get here. And a little storefront tucked off to the right. And it is well worth the trip, whether you're looking for a cup of coffee or some cookies or lunch with a friend. It's a great place to stop. Ashley, thanks so much for spending some time with me today.
I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the We Are Tusk podcast. Again, my name is Josh Robinson. I'm a minister at Dover First Christian Church, and we're just looking for ways to promote what people are doing here in the community. If you know someone who'd be a good guest on a future episode, maybe a small business owner or a leader of a nonprofit, you can reach out to us through our Facebook page or wearetuskpodcast@gmail.com. wearetuskpodcast@gmail.com. And we'd love to include them on a future episode. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the We Are Tusk podcast, presented by Dover First Christian Church.